Hey folks, I want to remind you that the Turning Point Action People's Conference is coming up this June 14th to 16th in Detroit, Michigan. Get your tickets and then go to unhumansbook.com to come to a special meet and greet for the launch party of the Unhumans book with myself and Joshua Lysak. I'll see you there in Detroit.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
evil. A jury has been unable to agree on whether a Santa Cruz County rancher is guilty or not in the shooting death of a Mexican national crossing his ranch. Now, Judge Thomas Fink has declared a mistrial in the case.
For the first time in our nation's history, a 30-year-old man or woman isn't doing as well as his or her parents were at 30. People are opting out of America. They're not optimistic about it because, quite frankly, they are just pissed off. They look up, they see wealth, exceptional wealth across my generation and people in certain industries, and they are really struggling.
The attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, is an attack on democracy, is an attack on education.
Donald Trump once again overnight testing the limits of the judge's gag order on the eve of a key hearing.
That jury was picked so fast, 95% Democrats. The area is mostly all Democrat.
This as his defense team seeks to beat back allegations he's repeatedly violated the judge's gag order, which bars the former president from commenting on jurors, witnesses, and the DA's staff.
Last night, a line of NYPD officers in protective gear standing eye to eye with protesters demanding police leave NYU's Gold Plaza.
We have more police presence here than anyone's ever seen. For blocks, you can't get near this courthouse. And yet you have nobody up at a college where you have very radical people wanting to rip the colleges down, the universities down. And that's a shame.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily, live Washington, D.C. Today's April 23rd, 2024, N.O. Domini, day two of President Trump's trial there in New York City. We're going to be working on getting Real America's Voice correspondent Ben Berquam, who's been doing the yeoman's work out there day in, day out from the courtroom. We're told he's going to be working to get outside the steps of the courthouse itself to give us all the updates. The biggest update that we've seen so far this morning, Judge Juan Merchan has decided, or potentially has he blinked on the gag order. A lot of people thought that that was going to come down this morning, that he was going to give. So before Trump's trial began this morning, they had a separate hearing on the gag order, whether or not President Trump had violated it, which, of course, would mean fines or even potentially spending the night in jail for President Trump. Our guest later in the episode, we're going to have Mike Davis coming up on us today. And he said before multiple times that specifically this judge will put Trump behind bars. So everybody must be ready for that. And let me tell you something about Mike Davis and his predictions. And I'll say this when he comes on as well. Everything that he has told you has come true to the point of him calling the shot. Like Babe Ruth, the great Bambino himself, Mike Davis, stood there and said the name to watch out for was Matthew Colangelo, that this was the guy who was the operative of Merrick Garland and the Biden DOJ all the way down in Bragg's office. And then who opens the trial? Who was the prosecutor that opened the trial yesterday was, again, Matthew Colangelo. It's very simple. Look, folks, look, what can I say? When you have a situation like we're in now, if the theory of your case, if your theory of the case predicts what will happen next, that is the way that you test a hypothesis. With our hypothesis of what's going on with Trump, we can see it day in, day out. This is a show trial, and I'll be very clear about this. And we're going to go into We're certainly going to go in to all of this. By the way, there's a debate going on right now, or there was a debate going on just about a year ago, and it got heated because they're specifically asking whether or not prosecutors can ask David Pecker about Stephen K. Bannon. That's right, the host of the War Room, leader of the War Room posse. His name has been brought up in this trial already, and they are supposedly going to ask, or trying to ask, David Peckham. This is the guy from the National Enquirer who is the first witness. They want to bring up Steve Bannon. And of course, they're looking at some of this stuff. The National Enquirer headlines from 2016, the JFK's secret son. We all know the type of grocery store checkout line headlines that you would see in the National Enquirer. People are asking all about it. But Steve Bannon's name coming up in the courtroom. Remember, this is the same judge that Steve's going to have later when it comes to the New York State We Build the Wall case. We'll be right back, getting into all the legal slicing and dicing. Mike Davis joins us next. The show trial of Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed, you hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip, you'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
But I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside. For this book called Unhumans, I just can't hide.
All right, Jack Posobiec, here we are back live at Human Events Daily. We've got a lot going on, and we are here to chop all this wood. Folks, with the world descending quickly into chaos, the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it's another pandemic or something closer to home, preparedness is no longer an option, it's a necessity. That's where the wellness company comes in. From something innocent and natural like a tick bite to COVID to the next bioweapon manufactured in a lab, the wellness company's medical emergency kit is what you need to be prepared. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, emergency antibiotics, a Z-Pak, and more, as well as a guidebook to aid in the safe use of these life-saving medications. The wellness company and their doctors, including Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Reich, Dr. Drew Pinsky, Dr. Robert Seek, and so many more are medical officials that you can trust. Rest assured knowing you're ready for whatever the globalists throw at us next. To order, just go to twc.health/poso. That's twc.health/poso. Enter promo code POSO for 10% off. The wellness company and their licensed doctors are medical professionals you can trust, and their medical emergency kits are the gold standard for keeping you safe. Again, that's the twc.health/poso, promo code POSO for 10% off. See the site for details. Prescription may be required. I'm being told that we do now have Ben Berquam out there at the courthouse. And we thought we had Ben. He must have ducked back into the court on this Steve Bannon stuff. And so we're going to go now to Mike Davis, who's coming on with us. Mike Davis from the Article 3 Project. So much is going on right now. Before we dig into the meat of what's happening here, can you tell us, why is all of this happening? How have we got to such a point?
This is all happening because Democrats fear President Trump is going to win back the White House on November 5th, 2024. So they ran this Democrat lawfare and election interference. They are indicting a former president for the first time in American history who happens to be the leading presidential candidate because they say he booked a nuisance claim incorrectly in his company books 7 years ago, and somehow those are 34 felony counts against a president and keeping him stuck in a courtroom for 2 months in 2024 during the height of the presidential campaign season. This is obviously Democrat lawfare. We've talked about this for a long time, Jack. You had this Soros-funded Manhattan DEA, Alvin Bragg, declined to bring this bogus legal theory that the prior Manhattan DA, the Federal Election Commission, the Justice Department, Bragg himself declined to bring until Matthew Colangelo got sent from the Biden Justice Department, the number three office in the Biden Justice Department, to resurrect the zombie case.
And Davis, I don't know if you heard the opening here, but I said, man, you were like the great Bambino up there, Babe Ruth, calling the shot. Remember the fame, calling the shot. You were the first guy, and you took all the slings, all the arrows over Matthew Colangelo, saying the name back when we used to say Eric Ciaramella online and get in trouble for it. You were the one who said the name Matthew Colangelo, and that's exactly who came in. It was Matthew Colangelo. This, I mean, you were just 100% right, man. 100% right.
And what's so outrageous is this Democrat Manhattan judge, Juan Merchan, who donated to Biden in 2020 and donated to another anti-Trump cause, and more importantly, whose daughter, Lauren Merchan, has raised $100 million off of her father's unprecedented criminal trial of a former and likely future president. He should recuse from this case. It's required under New York statutes that he should recuse. And that's not just me saying this. A former Clinton federal judge in New York City went on CNN on April 5th, Caitlin Collins' show on April 5th, and said the same thing, that Judge Merchan needs to recuse because his daughter has a financial stake and he's refused to recuse. In response, what has this judge done? He's teamed up with Bragg and Colangelo to illegally, unconstitutionally gag a criminal defendant so President Trump can't even talk about Matthew Colangelo and how he was deployed from the Biden Justice Department to bring this lawfare. President Trump can't talk about the clear judicial bias of Juan Merchan, who should recuse from this case because of his daughter's financial stake, Lauren Merchan's financial stake, $100 million she's raised and counting. These are reversible. That is a reversible error. That's going to get this case reversed on appeal, even up to the Supreme Court. But the Democrats running this lawfare don't care. Their entire point is to get a felony conviction of Trump before November 5th, 2024, because they see the polling. They see that Trump is beating Biden like a drum. And the only way they think they can resurrect Biden's dead political body is by this felony conviction of Trump.
So I want to ask you about something. This is late breaking from the trial, but about an hour ago, the jurors were all asked out of the room and the lawyers began debating whether or not prosecutors can question David Pecker. Now, David Pecker is the first witness in all of this. It's the National Enquirer. The story, of course, is at the core of what we're told is the supposed criminal activity. They're asking whether or not he can bring up Steve Bannon. Steve, the host of the War Room, who at the time was the campaign manager for Trump. And what they're saying is, this is out of Politico, prosecutors had asked the former CEO of the National Enquirer publisher about Bannon asking him to put a National Enquirer reporter on Sean Hannity's talk show to talk about Hillary Clinton and asking Pecker to run certain articles. And it seems to me that this is just what a normal campaign manager would do to try to help their candidate, you know, a criminal conspiracy or a conspiracy, a scheme, if you will, to help the candidate he was working for to get elected. That seems what the scheme seems to be here. Why is this coming up in the trial?
It's very clear this is coming up to inflame the jury, to make this more political. Look, it's not a crime for a businessman to settle a nuisance claim. You can call it hush money. You can call it whatever you want. You can think it's unseemly. But I'll tell you, as a lawyer that was in private practice for over a decade, I dealt with these nuisance claims and these non-disclosure agreements constantly. It's the cost of doing business for these businessmen and for these businesses, particularly in New York City. So it's not unusual to have a nuisance claim settled, a hush money claim settled with a non-disclosure agreement. And to try to say that Trump was doing it solely because of his campaign in 2016, I mean, if you bring in this other evidence that Trump, like almost any other businessman, is going to settle nuisance claim, I bet you Trump's been doing it for 40 years. That's routine. And that's when he was not running for president. It's just part of what you do as a business person. This is an insane legal theory that these Democrats are using. Their sole goal is to make Trump a felon.
Well, and real quick, just to ask you about the legal theory here. Trump's lawyers even seem to have pointed back on this situation. By the way, they're trying to loop Steve Bannon in, who isn't named in any of the documents. That, correct me if I'm wrong, but conspiracy is not even one of the charges that they're actually going after in this case.
Well, it's evolving. They might. It sounds like
it's evolving. Like, the theory is evolving. Yeah.
The theory is evolving as the trial goes. I mean, that might be a due process problem if the defendant doesn't even know what the criminal charges are before the trial begins, so we can get the evidence to defend himself against that. But look, their goal is to just get a criminal conviction. So they went to this biased prosecutor, the Soros funded DA, this clearly conflicted, biased Democrat judge, Juan Merchan. They had the jury selection where they're asking the potential jurors if they followed Trump on social media, but they didn't ask if they followed Biden. So you have this, it's already a stacked jury in Manhattan. It voted 87% for Biden. And then they're even going a step farther by trying to weed out the people, you know, the three people in Manhattan who could be Trump supporters. They're trying to weed them out during the jury selection, but not weed out the Biden supporters. And then you're illegally gagging Trump. The gag orders are supposed to protect criminal defendants. They're limited time, place, and manner restrictions on others' First Amendment rights to make sure that the defendant has his constitutional rights to a fair, public, and speedy trial. You have Cohen out on CNN tainting the jury pool constantly. He's the one who should be gagged to protect Trump's right to a fair trial. Instead, they're gagging Trump because Trump is raising evidence of the judge's bias. He's raising evidence of Lauren Merchan making $100 million off of this trial. Trump's raising evidence of Colangelo being deployed from the Biden Justice Department. I mean, this is turning the Constitution on its head in New York City. There's no chance in hell that President Trump is going to get a fair trial. There is a 100% certainty that they're going to find him guilty. Judge Merchan is going to convict him, and he's going to have to think really long and hard whether he's going to put President Trump in jail. It might be the biggest political gift that Judge Merchan can give President Trump for the 2024 election is putting him in jail, because that will guarantee that President Trump wins back the White House in a landslide. It will be an in-kind campaign contribution from Bragg and Colangelo and Juan Merchan.
We're also being told that President Trump is expected to speak very soon in front of the courthouse. We're going to go to that, I think, in a minute, about a minute here. It's about to start. But I want to also throw out there, as you say, these nuisance claims come up again and again. And there's another one that just came up where they said that, this guy. He's going live. He's going live. We're tossing now.
Allow articles to be put in. As an example, these are articles that were over the last day and a half. Very good articles. They say the case is a sham and it shouldn't even be tried. It shouldn't have been submitted. And I don't even know if you're allowed to put them in. We have a gag order, which to me is totally unconstitutional. I'm not allowed to talk, but people are allowed to talk about me. So they can talk about me. They can say whatever they want. They can lie. But I'm not allowed to say anything. I just have to sit back and look at why a conflicted judge has ordered me to have a gag order. I don't think anybody's ever seen anything like this. I'd love to talk to you people. I'd love to say everything that's on my mind, but I'm restricted because I have a gag order. And I'm not sure that anybody's ever seen anything like this before. And even having to do with articles, somebody writes an article. If I read every one of these articles incomplete, I read some of it and I'll look at headlines. All good headlines that the case is a sham, but I can't read the whole thing. I'd be reading, this is like reading a novel. So I put an article in and then somebody's name is mentioned somewhere deep in the article and I end up in violation of a gag order. I think it's a disgrace. It's totally unconstitutional. I don't believe it's never, not to this extent, ever happened before. I'm not allowed to defend myself, and yet other people are allowed to say whatever they want about me. Very, very unfair. Having to do with the schools and the closings, that's Biden's fault. And by the way, this trial is all Biden. You know, this is all Biden, just in case anybody has any question. And they're keeping me in a courtroom, that's freezing, by the way, in a courtroom all day long. Well, he's out campaigning. That's probably an advantage because he can't campaign. Nobody knows what he's doing. You can't put two sentences together. But he's out campaigning. He's out campaigning, and I'm here in a courtroom sitting here, sitting up as straight as I can all day long, because you know what? It's a very unfair situation. So we're locked up in a courtroom, and this guy's out there campaigning. If you call it a campaign, every time he opens his mouth, he gets himself into trouble. So that's the story. I have an unconstitutional gag order by a highly conflicted judge that should recuse himself. Very simple. On the schools, should have never happened. What's going on in this country now should have never happened. But of course, the Ukraine war would have never happened. The Israeli attack would have never happened. Inflation would have never happened. We have the worst president in the history of our country, and he's the one that has us in all these different lawsuits. Thank you very much.
Well, there you have it, President Trump just speaking. You know, I was on the phone earlier today. People know that my home state primary is going on down in Pennsylvania. And I said, look, this is where Trump should be today. He should be there in Pennsylvania, barnstorming the state, holding one rally in Scranton in the morning, and then flying out to, you know, the Pittsburgh area, the Southwest area, holding another event in the afternoon or the evening. And the fact of the matter is that the reason he's not there is specifically the reason they are doing all this to him, so that they can keep him on the show trial and off of the campaign trail. By the way, I would also throw out that the fact that Trump's on trial and can't be there for Election Day is a pretty good argument for why people need to start embracing early voting and mail-in voting, because you never know where you're going to be on Election Day. Get your vote in early. That's the way to do it. Mike Davis, your reaction to President Trump there?
Well, I would just say this. Notice how President Trump could not talk about Matthew Colangelo, right? This Biden prosecutor who got sent to Alvin Bragg's office to bring this bogus political case against Trump. Notice how President Trump couldn't talk about Lauren Michon, this biased Democrat Manhattan judge, Juan Michon's adult daughter, who is a top Democrat consultant. She's worked for Biden. She's worked for Kamala Harris. She's worked for Adam Schiff. She's raised $100 million from this criminal trial over which her father's presiding, this unprecedented criminal trial. This is the same Judge Michon who donated to Biden in 2020, donated to another anti-Trump cause. Trump can't talk about this because of this unconstitutional, illegal gag order that's placed against him. If there's anyone on the planet who must have the constitutional rights under the First, Sixth, and 14th Amendments to speak out about the judge, the prosecutor, their staffs, their biases, the witnesses, the process, it is a criminal defendant going through a criminal process, particularly when that criminal defendant is a presidential candidate, and particularly when this criminal prosecution is obvious Democrat, Biden Democrat lawfare and election interference on many fronts, because Democrats fear American voters. They fear American voters on November 5th, 2024. So they're just trying to destroy Trump legally, politically, financially, and is frankly his liberty because they fear American voters.
Now, let me ask you a question about that. I have a ton of questions for you, but let me ask you this. So Judge Michon didn't actually rule. He says he's reserving judgment on this contempt charge, 10 contempt charges that the prosecutors have levied this morning. They had this hearing, went back and forth, got pretty testy at one point with Trump's lawyers. The fact that he didn't weigh in on this, here's my question. If Trump's lawyers do believe that this judge is biased, as you say and as you've detailed, completely detailed over and over on this case, did they have the ability then in court to file a motion against the judge, against a biased judge, and then go over his head to the appeals court? Is there a legal remedy available to them for some judicial relief here?
They tried to appeal the bias issue in the appellate court. Sided with Michon. It's unbelievable. Even a former federal Clinton judge went on CNN on Caitlin Collins' show on April 5th and said that Judge Juan Michon needs to recuse because he has an actual conflict of interest. His adult daughter, Lauren Michon, has a financial stake in this criminal prosecution. She's raised $100 million. She gets a percentage of that, right? So she he clearly has to recuse. This is reversible error, but again, they don't care. They don't care if it's reversible error. Their sole goal is to call Trump a felon before November 5th, 2024, and after the election, they don't care if the cases get thrown out against them. This is the same play that Jack Smith, Biden's special counsel, ran against former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell in 2016, a likely presidential or vice presidential contender. They had the Obama Justice Department take him out politically, got him convicted on corruption charges. The Supreme Court later reversed 8-0. It would have been 9-0, but Justice Scalia passed away. It's impossible for a criminal conviction to get reversed unanimously. And Jack Smith found the way with Bob McDonnell, but the damage was done. These Democrat prosecutors are political Scud missiles that Biden is launching at Trump to take him out politically, legally, and financially because Biden fears Trump on November 5th, 2024.
Now, I want to go in on some of the case updates that we've seen here. There's one this morning that it looks almost exactly the same as what you're talking about. These nonsense stories that come up. Look, we know that the National Enquirer and these tabloid stories, they live and breathe off. This is why they're called the dirt rags, right? They're filled with the dirt. There was a story here. This was interesting, actually, because there's a story here about and you know, how can you not click on it? That it's the Trump, what is this? The court has just adjourned for the day, I'm seeing. That's actually why Trump was able to leave. These are some early days that they're taking there. That there was this story, ridiculous story, that President Trump had fathered a secret child, that there was a secret, you know, Trump kid. I mean, this is the, you know, exactly what you get from the National Enquirer. There was a secret son that no one had ever heard of, and he'd had it with... And I can't tell from the write-up I'm reading here in Politico whether this was Karen McDougal, et cetera, et cetera. But here's what's interesting to me, is that they go to Peckham, they go to the National Enquirer publisher, and they ask him, they say, did you run down the story? He said, yes, my editor ran down the story and found that it was unverifiable, that it was simply not true. And they had some, like, former doorman who had been fired, and he was running around trying to sell a story and say, oh, I worked at Trump Tower, and I heard this, this, and this. And it was completely untrue. However, the National Enquirer publisher did pay money to that doorman anyway to set up this settlement. So, and this is years ago. This is years and years ago. In order so that he wouldn't be shopping the story around in the future. In your estimation, Mike Davis, how is it that cases like that or stories like that are dealt with on a regular basis? That's number one. And then number two, where's the crime here?
These are called catch and kill cases, yeah. And there's no crime, right? You settle nuisance claims, you have catch and kill, there's no crime. And actually, by bringing in evidence that Trump has done this in the past proves that Trump did not do this solely to benefit his campaign. So it can't be a campaign finance violation, right? And so that just, like, the Bragg has to be careful and Colangelo have to be careful what they bring into evidence here, because they're going to try to bring in evidence to show a pattern maybe by Trump or to embarrass Trump, but all they're doing is undermining their case. They're proving that Trump settling nuisance claims has happened routinely. Like any businessman, any company, they settle nuisance claims routinely. It's done in the course of business. I was a lawyer for more than a decade before I got dragged back into politics, and I handled nuisance claims, non-disclosure agreements, hush money, if you want to call it that. We handled that on a daily basis as a business litigator and a business attorney. That happens every day in the business world, particularly when you're high profile, like someone like Donald Trump. You have to settle these nuisance claims constantly because you have a lot of money, you have a lot of fame, and you're a big target. It's not a crime to do this. It happens every day. If it were a crime, I guarantee you that these executives at, let's say, NBC or MSNBC, they'd be in jail for settling nuisance claims if it were a crime to settle nuisance claims.
And I mean, these stories are ridiculous. And of course, I think you'd be hard pressed to find a billionaire anywhere in America that didn't have claims like this, even ones who are relatively out of the spotlight compared to Donald Trump. who has been in the spotlight for four decades, someone who's had every single claim under the sun levied against him. I'm sure there's going to be tons of these if you scratch under the surface. But what they're trying to do, and to me, that's also why, that also struck me as odd, because why would you bring up a case that even your own witness is saying was not true, and that they paid for it anyway because they wanted it to go away? To your point, Mike Davis, it seems like this was standard business practice, and it was something they had entered into long before the election came on. Now, of course, I don't believe we've seen the cross-examination of this witness yet, but I would imagine that that's the very first thing they would ask about.
Yeah, I mean, this is gonna blow up in Bragg and Colangelo's face if they bring in this evidence. Like, look, I don't think
it's in.
Yeah, I don't think any voter in America is gonna say, "Wow, St. Donald of Manhattan, had to settle nuisance claims with these different women. It's just so shocking that's gonna change my vote for Donald Trump." That's just not going to happen. It's just a silly argument that is baked into the expectations with Donald Trump, that he's had issues with many women in the past. It's not a shocker. It's not a shocker that he has to pay nuisance claims and with non-disclosure agreements like any businessman would have to do, particularly high profile, wealthy businessmen in New York. And that's just part of the cost of doing business for these guys. And it's not a shocker. Trump did not do this.
Here's what I think is very interesting, though, because while they're making their case, I know that there's the intellectual side of it where you and I want to go through the actual facts of the case. I doubt that a New York jury is going to be that interested. They're going to see Trump and say guilty. But it's very interesting to me that they are pinning so much on election fraud that they're getting away from the salacious details and trying to outline some criminal conspiracy that just never took place, which, to your point, was simply the basic matter of the regular course of business for a billionaire in New York City, who also at the time, by the way, was one of the top rated TV hosts in the entire country. So I think bringing up this doorman, and I think going down this tack is actually very bad for their case. I think it's terrible for their case. Last couple seconds for the segment, Mike Davis.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And it just shows you how desperate Bragg and Colangelo and Judge Merchan are. They are doing everything they can to make anything they can stick against Trump so they can label him a felon before November 5th, 2024, even if the courts of appeals reverse the felony conviction, which they almost certainly will do.
All right, we're back, coming live. We're going to try to get that courthouse shot. Of course, we had President Trump just there. We're going to see if we can get Ben up live, New York City. Right back, Human Events Daily. Episode back live, Human Events Daily. Folks, there's a lot to be nervous about out there. Open up social media, turn on the news, all you see is crime, societal decay. A lot of people just run out and buy a gun, and there it sits in a safe. If there's ever going to be an emergency, or they're not going to be prepared and run the risk of hurting themselves or others. No way around it, you need to train and train often. Ultimately, it's time-consuming to go to the range, assuming there's even one nearby and ammo prices are through the roof. iTarget was invented so you could practice anytime in the safety and convenience of your own home. Simply download the iTarget Pro app, load your caliber-specific bullet into your firearm, and start training. It's a laser bullet, understand. Practice alone, compete with friends, or use it to safely train with friends and family who are new to firearms. Go to iTargetPro.com and get 10% off when you check out with promo code POSO. This is the safest, smartest way to train, which is why competitive shooters trust dry fire training as part of their regimen. Get yours today. That's letter iTargetPro.com, iTargetPro.com, promo code POSO. Mike Davis now with us here as we go through this trial. And Mike, I just got to keep coming back to this, man. And, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of a fair juror. And I say, let's throw all that, politics aside and say, wait a minute. If you're telling me that this was something that was done in the regular course of business, even when the story wasn't true, because it was, as you say, a nuisance claim and you wanted to make it go away, then shouldn't, if there's any fraud involved, wouldn't the fraud be on the person who was bringing the fake claims to begin with? If there was any extortion going on, wouldn't that be on the person that was trying to extort the money? And as a juror, once you admitted that, your very first, and this is a prosecution witness, folks, the defense hasn't even begun their case yet. This is only number one in the case. If I'm a fair juror, I would look at that and say, all right, that's the end of the case. That's the end of the case right there, because there's no way that you can show me that this was some kind of criminal scheme if you're explaining that it's done in the regular course of business. And you know, 30 grand sounds like a lot of money. When you're a multi-billionaire, probably not that much. If it's done in the regular course of business, even if the story is not true, then that's the end of the case. I'm sorry. That's the end of the case right there. But this isn't going to be the end of the case, is it?
No, of course it's not going to be the end of the case, because you said if there was a fair process, if there was a fair jury, and there's not.
I did.
You said there's
my fantasy land version of the trial, you know?
Yeah, that jury pool that voted 87% for Biden, and then you have a jury pool that was further, you know, broken down by the judge asking these potential jurors that they followed Trump on social media, but didn't ask them if they followed Biden on social media, for example. So I have a sneaking feeling that there are a lot of jurors on this jury who do not give a damn about the facts or the law, and they just want to get Trump.
Now, walk me through how the rest of the case works, because we're told that this is going to go into June. We're only in April right now. By the way, the court case is done right now. I would hope that President Trump's campaign has him on that flight to Scranton, which is right there. You're right next to New York City. You could be there in 45 minutes holding an impromptu rally right outside of Joe Biden's childhood home. I mean, how amazing would that be to simply hop over there if your court's done early? But with this going on, Mike, how does it work going through? Are we going to be getting this drips and drabs of witnesses over the next 2 months?
Yeah, I mean, this was part of the Democrats' plan. They wanted President Trump off the campaign trail, where he can't hold his rallies and fire them up and get their names and get their contact information and get them registered to vote and get them turned out to vote. These Biden and these Democrat prosecutors wanted Trump in the courtroom. They wanted four of these back to back to back to back. It looks like they're going to get one of these, maybe one more, but this is still a huge disadvantage for President Trump to be off the campaign trail and to be in this courtroom for the next 2 or 3 months. And that's all working out according to the Democrats' plan. They planned to do this. They waited 30 months to bring these four different unprecedented indictments against a former president. They waited until President Trump was, it was very clear that President Trump was running for president again. Then they brought these four indictments along with civil lawsuits for non-fraud, civil lawsuits for defamation, trying to disqualify him from the ballot. We've been talking about this for nearly 2 years, Jack. This is their election interference. This is their lawfare. And it's working out just as they planned.
It's precisely working out just like they planned, because it's a joke. You're going in here, witness after witness, they're going to be talking about, sure, we're going to hear the inner workings of President Trump, and how he ran his business. You're going to hear about Steve Bannon was trying to get a reporter booked on Sean Hannity. Like, I'm sorry, doing his job? It sounds like he was in a criminal conspiracy to do his job as the campaign manager. And again, people like Michael Cohen, who at the time was working for Trump. I actually interacted with Cohen in 2016 a little bit on something completely unrelated to all of this. There's a homeless woman who was a huge Trump supporter out in L.A. It's a long story. She was defending President Trump's Hollywood star for President Trump. She was defending it and kind of like had almost like chained herself to it and say, you're not going to take President. Michael Cohen reached out to try to get in touch with her to try to help her out a little bit. And that's the only interaction I ever had with him. But the idea that all of a sudden, you know, it's going to change some legal opinion is, it's a joke. It's a, for a guy like Matthew Colangelo, who's been trying to get Trump for all this time, or people like Maggie Haberman, we're told, by the way, we're told, and I'm sure you saw them, that, you know, Rachel Maddow is there. What is it like when you put themselves in the shoes of like the Rachel Maddows of the world? How do they view this case?
Well, we saw her. She went on our show yesterday and said that Trump looked old. And I, as I said on Bannon's show yesterday, I don't know if Rachel Maddow should be the person out there commenting about other people's appearance. Look, I have a face for radio and I fully admit it, but so does she. So I don't think that she should be, or I don't think that Rachel Maddow should be out there criticizing President Trump for looking old or criticizing his appearance when I wouldn't say Rachel Maddow's necessarily a looker. So that's number one. But all these, remember, all these journalists are really hypocrites because they work for news organizations that settle nuisance claims with non-disclosure agreements every day. They work for people. They work for journalists. Look, I deal with a lot of these journalists all the time, and I hope these journalists don't go out there and get sanctimonious and pretend like they're morally superior, because I know they're not. And so if they want to go down that path, we can go down that path.
And this is this. I remember seeing this clip. We had this clip of her yesterday. I saw it on MSNBC, man. She was up there. She had the thrill was running all the way up the leg, all the way up the leg, up the back, up the shoulder. And I mean, it had her hair standing on end. She was, you know, just frothing. You could tell she was very physically engaged. I'm trying to be very euphemistic here on the show. And I mean, she could, this is something that they have been salivating over for. And I don't even necessarily mean, you know, Bragg and Colangelo. I mean, this commentariat of the media, because there's a sliver of like the Maggie Habermans and the Rachel Maddows and the Olivia Nuzzi's and the Jake Tapers who have just wanted to see Trump on trial for almost a decade at this point, almost a complete decade. And they didn't care what the crime was. They never cared what the crime was. They couldn't even tell you what the crime is now. And yet they are going through the revels of adulation, seeing this take place. Last minute, Mike Davis.
Well, I would say this to all these reporters. They're going to be going from being revels of adulation, or whatever the hell you said, to they're going to be crying on November 5th, 2024, when President Trump wins back the White House. And if you thought the first term was, if these liberals thought the first term was rough with Trump, just wait for the second term. I think he's learned his lessons from his first term, and he's going to be ready to hit the ground running on January 20th, 2025.
The revels of adulation. I get revels of adulation every time Mike Davis comes on the show. Every time I hear from producer Foz that Davis is coming in, I'm like, oh my gosh, does my hair look good? Is everything right? Take care, Mike. Let people know where they can follow you, man.
Article3project.org, article3project.org. You can donate there. Our socials are out there. Thank you, Jack.
All right, God bless. Make sure you're sanitizing every time you stop being around Rachel Maddow. I don't know, something about her. Very unhygienic. She doesn't look healthy. Vitamin D deficient. Get some sun, Rachel. Get some sun. Be right back.
But I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside, for this book called Unhumans I just can't hide.
All right, Jack Posobiec here live. We've got, where I'm told we have Ben Burkhorn. I just talked to him in the break. Let's see if we get him up. Ben, are you there outside the courthouse, brother?
I'm here, man. Good to be with you, Jack.
What's going on, man? So I understand you just spent 3 hours around these libtards hanging out these in the courtroom. How was that, man?
Yeah, I got to say, I'm glad I never became an attorney. It is the most mind-numbing thing you can imagine, especially sitting through the audience. And in particular, I got to tell you, Jack, when you look at the stakes of what we're dealing with, the amount of time wasting that they're putting President Trump through, the fine detail comb of his life, while they allowed Hillary Clinton to get away with treason against America, while they allowed Joe Biden and Hunter Biden to get away with what they get away with, and to see what they're putting President Trump through. I mean, it's boring to be in there, but it's worse as an American citizen to see what they're putting President Trump through simply because they want to stop him from winning this next election. It's absolutely disgusting.
Did you see Rachel Maddow or any of these other types when they were in there?
I saw Joy Reid, Joyanne Reid. Oh my gosh!
Yes, we call her Joyanne Weave. We love her so much.
Cultural appropriation.
Tell me about Joy Reid.
Yes, her culture. You know, they're just, you can just sense it in them. They're just, I mean, I'm sure they're bored too, but they're just salivating at what's happening. They're like hyenas, like a pack of hyenas with a bone trying to get it. It's just, you know, just savoring every last moment of it. It's sick. It's absolutely sick.
Could you get the sense that was Joy Reid, was she able to keep up with the proceedings? Was she able to understand? Did she have like someone with her to kind of explain to her what was going on?
Well, you're not allowed to talk in the courtroom, but there's definitely a team with her. And so I didn't see any conversations going on, but I didn't see her fall asleep either. So, you know, I'm guessing she paid attention as much as I did. You know, it's hard if you're, you know, libtard or not to sit through one of these entire things, especially with the attorneys, the smugness of the prosecutors. It's just... That was really the worst part. Just the childishness of by which they asked the questions to David Pecker today. It's just, you know, it's like.
Were you there for the? Were you there? This is something that we've been tracking this on the show, and on a more serious note, that were you there for the section where they brought up Steve Bannon? They were told the jury was sent out, and they brought up Steve Bannon. Tell us what you heard there.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was actually at 12:20, the first time they brought up, the prosecutors brought up his name, and then he took a moment and said, oh, I'm going to come back to that. At 12:25, I took notes of this, specifically when I heard it, he came back to Steve as reference to hearsay. It ended up becoming, there was an objection by the defendants in regards to hearsay and what they were going to try to use this for. That's when the judge actually ended up clearing the courtroom, but it was basically in regards to Steve Bannon's working with President Trump on the campaign and then his conversations with David Pecker as well in regards to particularly the Hillary Clinton stories and pushing negative Hillary Clinton stories.
Interesting. So we're definitely going to see if there's more that comes of that for tomorrow. Now, Ben, I got to ask you, because we only have a couple of minutes left here till the end of the program. You also went up and you got to check out some of those Gaza camps yesterday that were going on Columbia's campus. Now, I do have to ask you, are the rumors true, Ben, that you were up there selling lighter fluid to the protesters just in case anybody wanted to partake in any extracurricular activities?
No, but I thought about pouring some on some of the tents as I walked around it. Now, we actually, I'm here with Cassandra Watkins, who's helping me out with the camera work, and we actually did a prayer seven times, like a Jericho prayer around the thing, walked and prayed, and then just, you know, called them out for what they were. It's just the height of hypocrisy. The irony of this thing is they have this big sign out front that says demilitarize education, yet it's a bunch of militant leftist communists that have taken over, now jihadists with them, that have taken over Columbia University, a school where students are paying $60,000 or their parents are paying $60,000 a year for them to go there. It's absolutely disgusting. But it's just a symptom of the rot that we have in universities across America, where we've had 40 years of godless, liberal, communist, now Marxist and jihadist ideology being pushed as somehow, you know, open-minded thought. It's absolutely disgusting.
Well, Ben, I've said before many times, and I'll certainly say so for here, that, you know, if we just start locking up all the professors, I think the campuses would suddenly have all their problems solved. I don't know. We've seen a little bit glimpse of what that looks like last night. Were you there out for any of the arrests, any of the scuffles last night?
I was at Columbia. I wasn't at NYU. I was out from 6 in the morning till 8, 9 o'clock at night. But I didn't go to NYU partly because
NYU's
I pray about
really
wisdom.
Just so folks know, Columbia is way uptown. NYU is like down midtown. The two totally separate sections of Manhattan.
Yeah. But this is going on everywhere. And just so people understand, until this cancer is killed, until it's cut out of our country, it's going to continue to grow. And the violence is going to grow, and the intimidation is going to grow. The emboldenment of these radical, communist, violent, godless students is going to grow as well. So it has to stop. We need a leader in, not just in the White House, we've got to have President Trump in there, but we need leaders in these cities that actually give police the authority to do their job and hold these little these are the kids that never got the spankings they deserved when they were screaming on the floor in the supermarket. They need the spankings that they deserved as children. And sadly, you have the professors that are egging them on.
I mean, it's really as simple as that. Ben, you're a dad, I'm a dad, you get it. And this is big dad energy, by the way. The biggest, I said this to Tucker Carlson, I said, the most masculine word in the English language is the word no. It's the word no.
That's right.
We're not gonna, and nobody ever told these kids no, or did so in such a way that they actually believed it. Ben, you're doing the yeoman's work out there, man. I hope you're able to catch a breather now that that court's over for today. Where can people go to follow all your coverage?
At Ben Burquam, I have a ton of footage I haven't released yet. Stay tuned. We're going to start releasing that this afternoon. I'm actually going to head out to a couple other locations here. Tomorrow, no court tomorrow. Court back in session Thursday.
Ben Burquam on the scene. I heard that he might even be giving out free lighter fluid, folks. I don't know. But if you're up there, I would say take him up on the offer. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore. Free order town. Free order.